to stand back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from Oklahoma, Dr. Larry Sparcimino. And Larry works with Noah Hutchings, Dr. Noah Hutchings, at the Southwest Radio Church Radio Ministry. And they do a wonderful job of reaching out across America with this message very, very similar to ours. Larry has written a book. It's going into the background of the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church. And this is a movement that is simply sweeping not only across America, but across the world. And it is designed to change the message and the music and the function of the church in our society. Dr. Sparcimino, thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, Dr. Stan, thank you for the privilege of being on.
Well, why don't you tell us why you wrote the book, and then, of course, we'll get into the things that you actually cover, how this is beginning to change the message of Christianity.
Well, we have had literally thousands, and I don't mean that in terms of an exaggeration. That's literal. Literally thousands of emails, calls, letters. People speaking to us at conferences, they are very, very concerned about the purpose-driven church movement, which is just sweeping America. Every denomination is being affected, not only Southern Baptists, but Episcopalians and Lutherans and Bible Church and even fundamental Baptist churches. And they've asked us, what about this? What's happening? So actually, we have three books. My book is What You Need to Know About the Purpose-Driven Church. It's really a 35-page booklet. It's a very quick read. But we also have a full-length book by Brother James Sundquist, who's driving the Purpose-Driven Church. And then, of course, we've been offering Warren Smith's book. I think you've had Warren on, Deceived on Purpose. So this is growing out of a real evident need that thousands and thousands of listeners have expressed to us. The church growth movement, you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan, teaches a new way of doing church. This is a movement in which there is the utilization of modern marketing techniques by the church in order to draw and hold large numbers of people. And they do that by meeting their so-called felt needs. In other words, the need for acceptance, the need for significance, the need for community, and so forth. And then the church then, quote, converts them and disciples them through the use of modern organizational management techniques so that they can affect, quote, change in the community and in the world.
But, of course, isn't this really a corporate management technique having nothing to do with a personal relationship to our Lord? It has to do with a mechanism that's used in industry, that's used in corporate structure, in government, in education.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I'm thinking of Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but..." Here this movement is just spreading the counsel of the ungodly and the ways of the ungodly.
And, of course, it was designed by a man who is not a Christian, Peter Drucker, 94 or 95-year-old, a guru of of the transformational Marxist school, whether we want to call him a Marxist, but it is a transformation of the structure and the function of society and now of the church. We'll be right back with Dr. Larry Sparcimino. Well, this is Dr. Stan coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Larry Sparciamino, who works with the Southwest Radio Church and certainly helps with the programs there, and I've been on his programs in the past, and he's been on mine, but we're invited him to come on because he's written a book about the church growth movement, the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church. And this is a phenomenal movement, and I know many of my good friends are in this, and they see absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's exciting. It works. People go to church now. A lot of the churches are growing. But what does it do to our personal relationship with the Lord? That's the major question, Larry. And what about the people who are brought in? What happens to their relationship? Is the relationship to the Lord, or is it to the group and to this communitarian concept?
Well, we certainly, in accordance with the Word of God, we put an emphasis on a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as He is revealed in the Bible. But in the church growth movement, the idea is not to speak about sin and repentance and about confession or about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. Rather, it's the idea of just getting together, having seeker-sensitive or seeker-friendly services. People eat coffee or drink coffee and eat donuts. The idea of being tapped into a larger community that meets our felt needs. Of course, we know that the Word of God is not something that teaches us to be necessarily happy. We're not to seek happiness first and foremost. We're to seek a relationship with the God of the universe. And, of course, at the center of this is the cross of Calvary. But as Dr. Hutchings has shown in recent programs, there's very little, if anything, about the cross and about the blood of Christ in the purpose-driven movement.
Well, my understanding is that, of course, everything is based upon God's love, but nothing at all about God's punishment, that God is not only a God of love, but He's also a God of punishment. It's certainly the same God of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we find in the Old Testament that time and again when the children of Israel turned against God, why He brought a terrible terrible tragedy and destruction to their society.
But that's absolutely true. The Bible is so plain that, yes, God loves people, and it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." But you and I well know, Dr. Stan, that before we can speak about the love of God, we have to speak about the wrath of God, because if we don't speak about the wrath of God and about the law of God and about the holy and righteous and just requirements of God, then why do we need to know the love of God? Why do we need to be forgiven? As a matter of fact, I have in front of me the Ladies Home Journal from March 2005.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, please. It was me. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. Larry Sparciamino from Southwest Radio Church, and we're talking about the church growth movement. And we're talking about the fact that there's an emphasis on God's love, and God's love is a very important part of the Christian message. But there is also the message that God is a vengeful God and a very jealous God. And if there is no eternal damnation, if there is no punishment for sin, then why did Christ come to earth to die in our place, to redeem us? Certainly, if there's no sin, why there certainly is no need for a Savior from sin. And Dr. Sparciamino was saying he was looking at something from the, was that the Ladies' Home Journal?
Yes, March 2005, page 36. Pastor Warren has an article, a column in there, and the one from March is entitled, "Learn to Love Yourself." He gives five hints: accept yourself, love yourself, be true to yourself, forgive yourself, believe in yourself. Now, certainly the Bible never tells us to believe in ourselves. And then Dr. Stan, he closes the article and says this, and I'm very concerned about this kind of statement. He says, it's your choice. You can believe what others say about you, or you can believe in yourself, as does God, who says you are truly acceptable, lovable, valuable, and capable. Now, Dr. Stan, you and I well know that this is a secular magazine. There are probably millions of unconverted people reading this, and yet Pastor Warren is telling them that they are already accepted, they're already lovable, they're valuable, and they're capable. Now, my Bible tells me in Ephesians 1:6 that He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." But it seems to me that Pastor Warren just skirts around the cross.
And, of course, what we're doing is basically trying to make people feel good about themselves. And you come out of these services really feeling good about yourself, but this is not transforming the individual, and it's certainly not transforming society. In fact, in many respects, it looks to me like this is the great apostasy that we are told would come about in the end times. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Well, it's interesting. You know, when we speak about apostasy, we're not speaking about something that happens to atheists. An atheist cannot apostatize from the faith because they have no faith. Apostasy is something that happens in the professing church. And where is the purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church catching hold the most? It's catching hold in the church. So I really believe that this is very, very prophetic of the end times.
All right, fine. Well, of course, there are a number of points that you make in your article. What's wrong with this? Because certainly it is successful. What's wrong with success? Certainly people feel good about themselves. Well, what's wrong with that? Certainly people enjoy being in small groups and identifying with the people in the small groups. And that, of course, is an integral part of this. And then aren't they actually required to sign some sort of a statement or a pledge that they won't object to anything when they're part of this church?
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the problems that I have with the purpose-driven movement, because Pastor Warren requires them to sign the statement that if they find anything that they disagree with, they will remain silent. And if they speak out, they're being considered a troublemaker. Pastor Warren says that people should not be criticizing him or any of the church growth leaders. Now, Dr. Stan, my Bible, your Bible, tells us that we are to test the spirits and we're to try the spirits, 1 John 4:1-2. And the reason is that in these last days there are going to be many false teachers. So rather than encouraging people to be discerning and to be watching out for what's going on, he's saying we just have to be gullible. So if gullibility were a Christian virtue, we've got lots of virtuous Christians.
Well, of course, Time magazine, which of course comes from the other side, from the dark side, recently listed the 29 leading Christians in America. And the leading Christians, of all of the leading Christians, was Rick Warren. He is the Time magazine selection for the man who's leading the Protestant church today.
Well, that's right, and I believe you're referring to the issue of Time that has a cross, and I believe he's at the top of the cross. And he is supposed to be America's pastor, according to the statements that we're hearing. And it's this kind of thing that is so characteristic, I think, of religion in America today. As a matter of fact, there is an autobiography, The Story of the Man Behind the Purpose-Driven Life, A Life with Purpose by Reverend Rick Warren, the most inspiring pastor of our time. And then it says on the back, Dr. Stan, it says, with his blueprint for Christian living, Rick Warren inspires millions to create more worshipful, purpose-driven lives. Now, here's the never-before-told story of the man whose influential philosophy has motivated a nation. Now, if our nation has been motivated on godly principles, as, for example, the Great Awakening under Edwards and all, we would see a radical change. We would see repentance. We would see confession of sin. We would see a return to the Word of God. I really don't believe that we're seeing that at the present time. So something other than a godly revival, something other than godly transformation is taking place under the purpose-driven leadership.
Well, but certainly the people feel good about it. How does this change the message of the Bible? In other words, how is the message of the purpose-driven church different than the traditional teaching of the evangelical faith?
Well, I had just referred to the Ladies' Home Journal, March 2005. It says, learn to love yourself. Now, the Bible never tells us that. We're to learn to love Jesus. And yes, we are accepted in the Beloved, but apart from Christ, apart from his atoning sacrifice, we are, of all men, most miserable. So certainly this is a radical change. There is no talk at all about the holiness of God, about Christian commitment to the Scriptures and to the Lord Jesus Christ. So rather than following the old ways and the old paths that we find had been used so mightily by the Lord in the past, we find a new kind of pop psychology that makes everybody, whether you're saved or not, feel good about themselves. Now, Dr. Stan, you have a training in medicine, and you certainly know that somebody can come to you and say, well, I've got these terrible pains in my stomach, and they may be dying of cancer or something horrible, and you say, well, it's no problem at all. Just take a few aspirins and go home and sleep it off, and you're doing well. Well, Dr. Stan, you know that that's very dangerous. That's actually committing murder. Well, I believe that the purpose-driven movement and the church growth movement in general is committing a spiritual homicide against people who have a desperate need to know that they are sinners, to confess their sins, and to accept God's approved way of salvation through the cross.
Well, certainly this is a movement that is having a profound impact. What about the influence of the music? Now, the music seems to have changed, and changed radically, of course. There may be one or two old hymns, but there seems to be an awful lot of this rock music with a very definite rock beat to it. What is the function? Why have they changed the music so much and so dramatically in these new churches?
Well, I think the change in the music is, number one, to do away with those old concepts in the old hymns, the concepts of the cross, the concepts of sin, the concepts of repentance. The newer music doesn't have that. Secondly, the newer music is just filled with this monotonous drone, this repetition. It goes over and over and over again, around and around. And rather than helping people to think about themselves and about the Lord and about the Word of God, it's a form of drugging people. So instead of dealing with the real issues, instead of opening their minds to receive the truth of the Word of God, it's sort of putting them to sleep and letting them feel good. In fact, that's one of the sad things about it. You know, the old pillars of the church are being driven out of the church by the music. The music is very loud. Anything, I believe, over 90 decibels is very harmful to your hearing. And a lot of this music goes up to 100, 110 decibels. Furthermore, a lot of the worship services involve the people standing and clapping for long periods of time, 40, 45 minutes. Now, the old pillars of the church, they're not going to do that. So Pastor Warren has a very effective way of using the music, I believe, number one, to deaden the senses. Number two, to drive out the old pillars of the church who have built the local church, who are fundamental, who are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And number three, by attracting the unregenerate into the church. And in this way, the music is used to bring about this whole change in the paradigm of the local church.
Well, it seems that there is almost a planned program, almost like a recipe, of how this whole thing is carried out. In other words, you've got the recipe, you know how you're going to go doing it. You don't tell the people initially what you're doing. The minister just gradually begins to change his dress coming in, begins to, of course, to change his method of delivery. And then, of course, don't they have a planned program to deal with dissenters? Anybody who doesn't want to go along with this, it's all a managerial program having nothing at all to do with Christianity or the traditional church structure, you know, and the fact that the minister is to be subservient to the board of deacons or the board of elders. Isn't this all designed as a mechanism of control?
Absolutely. In fact, you spoke about the plan that they're following. I have in front of me a letter from a listener in Montana. And that's one of the things that this listener mentions, that she's been to two churches in her city. Both churches have become purpose-driven, and she says that she has noticed in both churches that they follow the same scenario. Number one, the Wednesday night believer's service has been removed. Number two, there are in-church Bible studies, which have now been replaced with purpose-driven materials. Number three, home groups are now being developed. Cell groups are being developed. Number four, there's a series of sermons that the pastor preaches, and she said that she noticed this in both of those churches. And then she says, at the end of the evening, everyone signed a covenant agreement that they would, number one, stay committed to the program, and number two, not cause division. And she said she found that in both churches. Now, Dr. Stan, here's something very interesting. A purpose-driven church uses a group called Church Transitions Incorporated. Their website is churchtransitions.com. Dan Sutherland, who is the director, has been training. He claims 70,000 church leaders in 22 countries.
Hold that off right there.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the blast blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule, just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Larry Spargimino. We're talking about the church growth movement, which is really sweeping across the country, and so many good people are into this, and certainly perhaps Rick Warren really doesn't even understand the implications of what he's doing. Certainly this is a management technique that is successful. But the question is it going to transform our society and the world? We're told that it's going to, and if you go to their websites, they'll tell you that this is part of a program to change the world. But I would ask, you know, is this really going to change the world for the better? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I really don't believe that it's going to change the world for the better. It may change the world and probably will fit in with some of the and many of the prophetic changes that we see in the Scripture. In fact, when we speak about the world, Dr. Stan, I think it's very interesting. Back in the spring, Dr. Hutchings wrote a prophetic observer entitled Piggyback Saddleback, Who is Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? I have in front of me a letter he received from David Wilkerson of World Challenge. We're speaking about the world. And David Wilkerson really commends Pastor Hutchings' article. And then he closes and he says this: as I've traveled the world the last 2 years in ministers' conferences, I've seen the havoc which that ministry, and he's speaking about the purpose-driven ministry, has caused. In South Africa, one pastor spent 6 weeks preaching from Rick Warren's book. Most of his well-grounded pillars left the church, and it is floundering. We find the same everywhere we go. It simply does not work. Close quotes. And that's from David Wilkerson. So what the world needs is the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not psychological gobbledygook.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you. And some of you will certainly disagree with Dr. Spartamino's position. I know that many, many good people are going to these churches, and they're really enjoying it. They're enjoying seeing the church grow. They're enjoying the success. And, of course, if they are from another generation, they probably like the rock music. But the question I would have is, does that music really honor God? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we have to be very careful about the music that we allow in our church, because so much of contemporary music does not honor God. As a matter of fact, recently I did some interviews with Dr. Jack Wheaton. We have a new book that he has written, and he's shown in an amazing way. He's done a lot of scientific studies, and he's looked at the effects of loud music, the effects of syncopation and so forth on people. And then he's looked at the text of these contemporary songs, and then he's got an amazing number of testimonies from teenagers. You know, we often think that teenagers really want this kind of music in the local church, and that's why we say, well, we've got to really appeal to the young people. They're the people of the church tomorrow and so forth. But testimony after testimony that Dr. Jack Wheaton has included in his book says, no, that's not true. They're looking for something that really honors God, and that contemporary kind of music is not doing it.
Well, of course, we've been looking forward to seeing that new book. We do carry Jack Wheaton's book, The Crisis in Christian Music, and I know you're publishing his new book. Is it out yet?
Well, not yet. We're working on it. I've just finished the final editing, so I think in a couple of weeks it'll be out.
And music has such a profound impact on our heart, really on our mind, on our soul. And the idea that there's no such thing as Christian music, only Christian lyrics, you can put Christian lyrics to a rock song, and it still, I believe, is satanic. And I don't believe that, because I believe that the rhythm and the beat has a profound impact on our souls. That's been known for literally thousands of years. And yet it seems to be forgotten in the modern church by many good people who love the Lord, but I don't think they understand really the deleterious effects of the rhythm. Is this the impression you get?
Absolutely, and this is one of the areas where the church has to be extremely careful, where the elders, the deacons, the pastor has to be very concerned about the kind of music that is being allowed to be played and sung in the local assembly.
But what can the average individual do? I mean, certainly Pastor Hutchins went to a church there in Oklahoma that went into the church growth movement, and a man of his stature who's known throughout the country for his radio ministry, he couldn't do anything about it. Didn't he end up leaving the church?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And in fact, I've got in front of me an email from a brother in Nashville. And he speaks about the same kind of a situation. He speaks about the purpose-driven church takeover.
All right, hold that thought. We'll get to this as soon as we get back here at Radio Liberty.
will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Spargimino. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Larry Spargimino from the Southwest Radio Church Ministry. And, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Larry, would you like to get your website out? And if people would like to get the booklet that you've written, how would they get copies of that?
Our toll-free number is 1-800-652-1144. We're closed at the present time, but they can call and leave a message or call tomorrow, 1-800-652-1144. And our website is www.swrc.com.
And again, that website one more time.
www.swrc.com.
And that's for Southwest Radio Church, in case any of our listeners have any question about that, but swrc.com. And certainly they do a wonderful job of reaching people out all across America with telling them about what's really going on and the spiritual forces that are at work behind the facade that we see. So then, of course, we're talking again about the purpose-driven church and the purpose-driven life. My understanding is that there is really, as you get into this further, there's almost a you're being drawn, certainly when you get into the Alpha Course and some of these others, at the end of this, there's almost an emphasis on some sort of a mystical spiritual experience. Have you run into that?
Yes, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. As a matter of fact, Pastor Warren says that doctrine is really not that important. In other words, he wants to emphasize a mystical kind of an experience. And I'm reading from Purpose Driven Life, page 34. He says, God won't ask about your religious background or doctrinal views. The only thing that will matter is, did you accept what Jesus did for you, and did you learn to love and trust him? Well, Dr. Stan, you know that there are lots of people who claim to believe in Jesus, but which Jesus? We need Bible doctrine to tell us, you know, who Jesus is. He was the one who died, who was buried, who was raised on the third day. So, you know, we start downplaying doctrine, we're moving into another area, and that's in the into the area of mystical experience, the idea that there's some kind of an inner light, that we don't need propositional revelation from God to tell us how to live. And I think that's a very dangerous thing, especially since today we live in an age of doctrinal confusion.
And isn't there a real emphasis on, certainly the interrelationship between people? In other words, the relationship is not necessarily stressed between the individual and God. But, of course, the friendships you develop in the church, the small groups and the camaraderie that's there. And my understanding is that when they teach people how to run, and really how to manage, because this is really a management concept, that they actually will tell you that once an individual has seven friends in the church, they're not going to leave. In other words, they have figured out psychologically how to control people and how to keep them there, even if they're somewhat concerned about what's going on. But it's really done so cleverly, it's very hard for the people to understand the very subtle changes in the message and the music and their impact. Would that be a fair statement?
I think everything that you've just said, and in the whole hour, I would agree with 100%.
Well, that's because I read your book, you see. Well, anyway, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If perhaps you disagree with Dr. Spartamino's assessment of what's going on, or perhaps you do agree, we'd love to get your views. Give us a call from out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But people really do not remember, because it happened a long time ago, but by the 1730s, about 110 years after the pilgrims had come to America, there was a great apostasy, a great moving away of away from the traditional Christian beliefs. And then in 1740, when America faced a great spiritual crisis, why, a man named Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley went out and rekindled that flickering flame of Christianity and convicted people. And Jonathan Edwards' wonderful speech about a sinner in the hands of an angry God certainly brought people to tears and to repentance. And of course, this is really what was led up to the Revolutionary War. It was that spirit of closeness to God and dedication to trying to make a personal relationship with the Lord, because that's what it was all about. It wasn't making a better society, but was the personal relationship of people with God. And of course, it seems that we've sort of gotten away from that. We've sort of gotten into a whole different philosophy with these new views. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I think it's absolutely fair and truthful. As a matter of fact, you know, the emphasis on believers' baptism in the colonies, when a person received believers' baptism, they renounced their infant baptism, and when they did that, they severed their ties with Europe. And as a matter of fact, today, I think our country is reestablishing ties with Europe. For example, in 2003, in the Lawrence versus Texas decision, where virtually every state's ban on sodomy was canceled by the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court went to the European precedent and said, look, this is what our friends in Europe are doing. They're accepting it. It's okay, so we have to do the same. So, yes, I really believe that when there was that tremendous emphasis on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not on infant baptism, not on a connection with the Church of England or on a connection with any church, that really changed our whole nation. And I think Roger Williams has been correctly called the first American in mind, heart, and spirit.
All right, fine. Well, of course, then, what can actually be done? Because so many people who have been in the purpose-driven churches have been really forced to leave. They've been asked to leave. It's been made very uncomfortable for them. There is a almost an organized mechanism by which they get rid of the what they refer to as the pillars of the church, who are holding things back. These are the many of the older people there who hold to the traditional values of Christianity. And of course, this whole new method is to change the basic tenets of Christianity from what it was to this almost new religion that has been created by Rick Warren.
Well, yes, I think there are a couple of things that I would want to tell our listeners if they're in this kind of a situation. The first thing, you need to be fully persuaded in your mind that it is a right thing to disagree with the pastor. Pastor Warren says, whenever I judge another believer, four things instantly happen. I lose fellowship with God, I expose my own pride and insecurity, I set myself up to be judged by God, and I harm the fellowship of the church. That's from Purpose Driven Life, page 164. I would have to disagree with that because the Scripture disagrees with that. Titus 1:13 says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Here's another one, Titus 3:10, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Here's another one, Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So first of all, a person has to be fully persuaded. That's to say, hey, this is wrong, I'm not going to put up with it. You have to be persuaded that when you take a stand, you're doing the right thing. That's the first thing. Secondly, I would speak to the pastor privately. I would follow the Matthew 18:15 and following paradigm. Then thirdly, I would go to the officers. And then fourthly, I would realize that there could very well be a point when you will have to leave your church. And the reason I say this is because once the church begins to move in this direction, most likely the leadership has been talking about it, praying about it, thinking about it, spending thousands of dollars on the materials, and they've already made up their mind. So basically, apart from the Holy Spirit falling upon them, there is no way that you can change them. I recently did a program with a couple of people who had left their church because their church had been following the purpose-driven church movement. And in one of the programs, I spoke to a Christian man, a Baptist man in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, and I said, dear brother, before we close, is there any words of advice that you would want to give in summary fashion? And he said, yes. He said, don't wait around too long. And he pointed out that he had been fighting this thing for 6 years. It had ruined his spiritual life. It had caused division in his home. It caused a lot of trouble in the church. He said, look, once they decide to go down this path, they are virtually unstoppable. As a matter of fact, there's a church in Tampa, Florida, on the west coast of Florida, where the pastor has now painted the sanctuary black. Can you imagine that, Dr. Stan, painting the sanctuary black? And that was, of course, the final straw for many, many church members who had left the church. And I said, well, why did they paint the sanctuary black? And he responded, he said, well, the pastor said that they're going to be using a lot of multimedia visuals and materials, and a blank sanctuary is much more effective. So you can see how far this thing goes. Once it starts, there's really no stopping it. So I would say, yes, deal with it, but realize that once it begins to start moving in that direction, it's very, very hard to retrieve the situation.
All right, well, let's go to Faith, who's calling us from Texas. Hi, Faith, how are you?
Hello. I wanted to talk to Larry Spargimino.
All right, fine. Well, he's right here. You talk to him.
Okay. I know that the purpose-driven is really spreading like a plague around Texas. And my husband and I, we've left our church, and my brother has gotten into it, and he's encouraged my mom, who used to be a hardcore, just reading the Bible Christian, and now she's doing all that. Y'all talk about how it's all about love, and it's not about being convicted of your sins anymore. It's all about just being happy-go-lucky, kind of like the New Age movement. And I was just kind of shocked and that it's gotten into my own family.
Dr. Spargimino, how would you respond to Faith?
Well, Faith, I praise the Lord that you are so sensitive and so in tune with the Lord and with the Word of God, and you see how quickly this is moving. And I really feel bad about it, but This is one of the things that the scripture speaks about, and you can be encouraged by the fact that you see the hypocrisy, the danger, and the apostasy in the whole situation. I would say probably what you really need to do is pray and pray and pray, because like I said, this is really out of our hands. Can warn, we can do programs like this, we can write books, but once people start moving in this direction, it really takes the Holy Spirit to stop them and to persuade them that this is not the way in which to go.
I really understand that, because she spoke of her own preacher and how he was doing too much hardcore now and too much conviction of sins, and she was so happy about this book and how it's like so light and fluffy and such. So I know what you mean, how once it gets in, it's really there until the Holy Spirit rebukes it.
The best thing you can do is pray for him.
Yes. Thanks. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Well, thank you so very much, Faith. And I really think this is a problem. Really, what they do is they make the life of the person who doesn't want to go along with this really very miserable. Isn't this part of a plan? In other words, to make the lives of the people who object to this so miserable that they'll leave the church?
Absolutely. In fact, they follow a plan. They, number one, identify resistors. Number two, they befriend and involve and persuade those who are on the borderline. In other words, if you're tottering one way or another, they try to befriend you. And then if you won't listen and if you won't be persuaded, they marginalize those who are more persistent. And then they finally go to the final step. They vilify those who want to stay and fight. So this is a well-rehearsed, well-planned scenario. They even have sermon materials. So many people have said, well, I've heard a sermon on Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, and so forth. And it almost seems like this is kind of a thing that's done over and over again. And like I said, they're following this plan. They have sermon topics. They have sermon scriptures. They have sermon illustrations. So it's really spreading like a mist through a mountain valley.
And this is really the tragic thing. This is well-organized, well-financed. It's stripping, taking over Christianity in America today. And it is to change the message and the music of the church. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it is absolutely fair. And you know, one of the sad things about it, Dr. Stan, I believe we're living in the last days. And I believe that Bible prophecy is so extremely important. It's always been important. But Pastor Warren says this about prophecy, and I'm quoting from The Purpose-Driven Life, pages 285 and 86. He says, when the disciples wanted to talk about prophecy, Jesus quickly switched the conversation to evangelism. If you want Jesus to come back sooner, focus on fulfilling your mission, not figuring out prophecy. It is easy to get distracted and sidetracked from your mission. Well, that's not true at all. You know, when the disciples asked the Lord in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, we've got two whole chapters, Matthew 24, Matthew 25, the Olivet Discourse. We have Romans 11. We have the whole book of Revelation. We've got Daniel the prophet. We've got Ezekiel. So here's another sad thing about it. He's downplaying prophecy. And I happen to believe that prophecy is very important, especially since we are in the days when these things are actually happening. And I think certainly we need to hear the prophetic word so that we can understand what is happening. And I think that's probably why Pastor Warren doesn't want preachers to be preaching on prophecy. If they do, they will realize that they have a real problem with the purpose-driven movement.
Well, certainly I think many good people, people I know and I respect, have been, I believe, led into this. And it may very well be that Pastor Warren does not understand where he is leading the flock. But he has been named by Time magazine as the leading Christian in America today, and I really think that he is. The question is, where is he leading us? Is our country getting better? Is our country getting worse? Are there more people who really are willing to give their lives to the Lord, whose lives are being transformed? Or are we seeing more and more people simply following blindly along, like the children did at the story of the Pied Piper of Hamlet? Well, we're just about out of time. We've got Scott calling us from Hollister. Scott, did you have a question for Dr. Sbarjamina?
Yes, sir. A quick question for your guest. I'm attending a new church, Presbyterian church in Salinas, and my question is, what is the best way to find out if your church is following the teachings of Rick Warren or this new purpose-driven movement? what questions do you does somebody need to ask?
Yes, well, that's a great question. I think I'd want to ask the pastor right off, what does he think about the purpose-driven church movement? Secondly, I would want to look at the materials that are being used. Thirdly, I would want to look at the changes, if there are any changes in worship, if there are any changes in the style of leadership. Now, one of the things that often happens is that the business meetings are no longer held. In other words, rather than involving the congregation, rather than having a meeting and say, hey, we want to hire a youth pastor or this pastor, you don't have those business meetings, but suddenly you find a youth pastor. Nobody voted on him. Nobody knows anything about him, but there he is. And suddenly you might find a new music director. So those are some of the signs. Another sign would be that the evening service, if your church has an evening service, well, that service will be canceled. And rather than having the expository preaching from the Word of God, rather than doing that, rather than meeting at the church building, people are now meeting in little cell groups and in little homes. So those are some of the things that you can notice. Sometimes
Larry, I'm sorry we're out of time. Scott, thanks for your call. And Dr. Larry Spargimino, thank you so much for being with us. That telephone number once more time?
1-800-652-1144.
God bless you. Thanks so very much.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Hi, I'm Michael Anthony Perucchi, the Constitution Party's presidential candidate.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and let's try this other one here.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762?
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have several books. One of them is called Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? And, of course, the other is called Deceived by Deception. There are two books going into the background of this movement that is sweeping Christendom today, changing the message very subtly, and the music of the Christian church, well, not so subtly, but maybe you like the rock bands, but I don't think they have any place at all in a Christian service. And then, of course, we have a great DVD. It's called Diaprax, and it's my friend Dr. Robert Klenk talking about really what is happening in the church, and you can get the videos of this. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We have a four-tape set on the church growth movement, because this is a very effective movement that's sweeping the country, and it is working, at least in certain instances. Some churches are growing, but they have a different message. And they're not talking necessarily about the fact that we're all sinners saved by grace. They're making us feel good about ourselves. And it really does make you feel very good about yourself. And we never mention the fact that God is not only a God of love. He is also a God of punishment and vengeance. And he brings judgment on nations that turn against him. So I would suggest that you get the material, listen to it, and determine whether or not you think there's anything to worry about. The books, again, Deceived on Purpose. Who is driving the purpose-driven church? I would suggest that Dr. Spargimino's booklet is excellent. We've read it through. We think he's done an excellent job on that. And then, of course, the DVD entitled The Diaprax, and of course the four-tape set entitled The Church Growth Movement. And believe me, many of these churches really are growing. But are they changing society? Are they changing the people's relationship or personal relationship with God? Or are they emphasizing the relationship of one person with another? Are they places where you go to be entertained or to be convicted as a sinner saved by grace? So I think it's a very important movement. You have to understand that there are forces, spiritual forces, at work within our society today. And certainly the Church Growth Movement four tape set will give you a great deal of information you need to know to understand what in fact is taking place in our society. We have a four tape set on Satanism and deliverance, because there really is a satanic movement alive and well in our Christendom today. We have the four-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. It's really for Catholics, although anybody could enjoy listening to it. Malachi Martin was a Catholic priest. He was a confidant of Pope John the 23rd. And I think you'll find The Wisdom of Malachi Martin will give you tremendous insight into what's going on. And then, of course, we have a book. Actually, it's a book written by a gentleman whose name is, of all things, Kennedy. And it certainly goes into Lucifer's Lodge. And, of course, we also have a four-tape set. Pardon me, we have a video by that title as well. And then, of course, we have this this book going into the background of the Luciferian movement and its influence in America today. And we have one book called Lucifer's Laws, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Catholic Church, and we have the book Lucifer's Children, and of course that goes into what's going on behind the scene. Another book, Lucifer Dethroned. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Lucifer is alive and well in the Christian church today. Well, this is the time we ask you to pray for my ministry, because we're on the front lines of this battle, trying to expose the demonic spiritual forces that are at work in America today, because the battle is not political or cultural or ideological. It's a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, a battle for the souls of men. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.